is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. With me today is Dr. Grady Donahoe of the Functional Health Institute. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. And so you and I had a coffee meeting, if you will, recently, and I got to hear a little bit about your personal story and how you got into functional medicine. So I was really excited to have you on and talk a little bit about that. So let's start with, so you're a recent graduate of Logan Chiropractic, correct?
Yep. I graduated in December of 2018, so I'm pretty fresh out, but I'm a go-getter right now. So it's been fun so far, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So how did, so you were telling me though, you weren't necessarily on that path from the start, right?
No. Yeah. So when I got into undergrad, I was real big into exercising and lifting and things like that because I played football. And so that's where I was kind of leaning towards, was being personal trainer and things like that. And then as I was going along, I stopped playing football. So I played football for a season in college and decided that I didn't want to, you know, eat as much as possible just to maintain that weight.
Because you were a lineman, right?
Yep. So I was a lineman. So I weighed about like 260 my freshman year of college, and just eating as much as possible to keep that weight on through the season. Because obviously you're exercising and going to all these meetings, and so you're eating constantly. And I just didn't want to live that life anymore. I think subconsciously I knew I didn't feel good. And at the same time, it's a lot harder to control your blood sugar that way.
Yeah, and so, which is important for you. So let's actually double back and touch on that then.
Yeah, yeah. So I am a type 1 diabetic, and I was diagnosed when I was 12 years old in 2006. And so along those lines, just after quitting football and going into a normal diet, or at least eating like a normal person to where I wasn't eating all the time, I quickly realized how much easier it was to control my blood sugar and keep it in a normal range. And I wasn't up and down and up and down and constantly having to take large amounts of insulin. And so as I was going through that process, I started not only eating normal portion sizes, but also starting to eat more healthier choices. And then it really started taking off, and my blood sugars were going down like crazy. I was taking a lot less insulin. And so then, obviously, I went to chiropractic school. And it was a big eye-opener for me as far as what chiropractic is and what we can do. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with chiropractic, and then learning about all the different techniques and all the different tools that we can use in chiropractic.
So what was your first experience personally with chiropractic?
Yeah, so I've been a wrestler for most of my life since I was really young. And so I would regularly go to the chiropractor because, you know, my neck would get all jacked up, or I couldn't hardly move because my neck was so tight or my back was tight. So my parents would take me to the chiropractor, and I was always amazed at how I would walk into the office barely able to move, in so much pain, and then walk out of the office almost totally fine and being able to do anything I wanted to do just in one visit. And so that was always amazing to me. And that's kind of what drew me to being a chiropractor and helping people in that way. So kind of doubling back to undergrad, said I was kind of gearing towards being personal trainer and things like that. And once I quit football, there was kind of a gap in my life. I was always a competitor and needing a challenge to strive towards. And so one of the school that I was attending, they had a program that you could do 3 years at the undergrad and then 3 years at the chiropractic school, and those credits would transfer back, and I would still have my bachelor's. So it would cut about a year out of the schooling. And so I saw that in like their information sheet or whatnot, and I was like, chiropractic, you know, I've been under care for chiropractic for so long, and it's always been amazing to me being able to see those changes with other people. I thought would be pretty cool. So, and I was like, well, you know, it's a graduate program. It sounds really tough. And right now I'm kind of needing a challenge. So I'm like, why not? Let's do it. Let's try it. And so, like I said, I got to chiropractic school, and what I thought was chiropractic was just a little piece of it. And the whole world expanded, and I got to pick and choose, you know, what I wanted to do with how I practice and how I wanted to help patients.
Yeah, a friend of mine said, she's like, yeah, it's not just cracking backs.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's just cracking backs, and it's like, no, there is just so much more to it than that, and especially, mm-hmm. you know, the nutrition component
yes.
as well. And as, you know, with your personal experience, you now had an understanding mm-hmm. of what a big difference that can make.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, so when I got to chiropractic school, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, I'm just going to be, you know, cracking backs and making people feel better, getting people out of pain and things like that. You know, quickly realizing that there was so much more to it and I could do so much more with it. So my first kind of exposure to functional medicine was through a club through school. So I went through like as many clubs as I could in school because they're all these different techniques. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know all this was possible. So I'm just like picking and choosing and trying everything out just to see, you know, what it's all about. So one of those clubs was Functional Medicine Club. And at the time, you know, it was still early on in my schooling. So a lot of it was over my head. And so, but I was still kind of interested in it. And I got an email from a upper level student saying that there's going to be a doctor in town speaking. And it was like that night. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything going on, so I might as well go check it out and see what he has to say. And I get there, and he just starts spewing out knowledge about, you know, nutrition and things like this. Starts talking about chronic diseases and autoimmune diseases and how they can be helped through a natural means. And then he starts talking about type 1 diabetes and some of the causes of it and how it kind of develops and some things that you can do to help it. And sometimes, in some cases, maybe reverse it.
Okay, so type 1 diabetes, you were diagnosed with at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are sitting in your classes, and this man starts talking about, well, yeah, sometimes it can be reversed, and there are all these things that you can do to take control of it. Was your mind somewhat blown?
It was completely blown.
Brand new information?
Brand new information. I was so excited just to hear that there was a possibility. I couldn't contain myself. I went up to him afterwards, asking him questions like pretty much as a patient, like saying like, is it, you know, what should I be doing or things like that?
Yeah, where do I go from
where
here?
Do I start?
You've given me hope. Now what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He kind of sprinkled the fairy dust on me. I'm like, we gotta figure this stuff out. So I started taking lots of seminars on functional medicine and ended up doing the DAPC program, which is the diplomate in the American Board of Chiropractic Internists. And so I really dug deep into functional medicine and just, you know, fell in love with it. And I think because of my diabetes is why it just like fuels me to keep learning and keep investigating and seeing how I can help patients.
Totally resonates with me because I can relate to that feeling, that moment of like somebody actually saying, okay, you know, there's other things that you can do to manage this.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just absolutely, it was just such a moment of hope and light, you know, mm-hmm. and then it was like, okay, well, what else can I learn? What else can I do?
Yeah, exactly.
And then understanding, you know, the blend of different techniques and things that I can bring in to start to help my body to manage itself better and to heal and do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what are some of the things that you're into? Well, let's talk about applied kinesiology. Mm-hmm. We're going to jump around a little bit because there are a lot of things that I want to talk about with you. Mm-hmm. So applied kinesiology is what?
So it's mainly a diagnostic technique. So it allows, for me, it really allows me to assess the nervous system and really tap into the person's brain and how it's communicating with the rest of the body. So essentially how I describe it to patients is I am using the testing of the muscle testing to help see how well the brain is communicating with that muscle. So by increasing the resistance on that muscle test, I'm testing whether the brain can adapt to that change in stimulus. So I'm increasing, I'm testing whether the brain can A, sense that increase, and also sense and also tell that muscle push harder to hold that contraction. And so by testing those muscles, we can assess not only the nervous system, but also different organ systems by using reflexes. So organ reflexes that are on the body. And so it really helps get specific for each person, because obviously, like, you know, each person is different. Just because I have type 1 diabetes and another person has type 1 diabetes, it isn't the same cause. There's so many different things that go into it. And that not just with type 1 diabetes, but with any chronic disease. And so it really allows me to help get specific for that patient and what they need and what the most concerning thing for their body is right now and how we can help it.
Okay, can you give an example of one of those cases that comes to mind?
Yeah, so I have one patient that I'm thinking of right now where she had lots of chronic pain in her legs. And so, you know, she had all the tests done, blood tests and things like that to figure out, you know, what's going on. And as discouraging as it sounds, her medical doctor told her, well, you're 50 years old and overweight, so that's just how it is. And that really hits me pretty hard when I hear stuff like that, because it shuts off the person's, like, I don't know how I describe it.
I've been
it.
In that seat too. Yeah. Yeah, it just, when you are given no hope and no chance, then what's the motivation to even try to do anything for yourself? You know, it's like, well, if I can't control that, then I might as well do all this other stuff too, you know? And, and it's this spiral that can happen.
Yep. And so with her, we went through our examination and everything, explaining, you know, what we're finding and how it's relating to her symptoms and why they're there. One of the biggest problems that she was having was her lymphatic drainage. And so we did a few adjustments to help get her lymphatic drainage going, which, just to kind of describe how that's contributing to her generalized pain in her lower extremities. The lymphatic system is a system that helps pull waste products away from tissues. It also carries your immune system around in the body. And it also carries proteins and fats to those tissues too. So if your lymphatic system isn't flowing the way it should, then you're not pulling those waste products away from those tissues. And those waste products start to build up in those tissues. And that's why you get the soreness, achiness, and inflammation in those areas. So for her, we worked on getting the lymphatic system draining. We also worked a little bit on her diet as well, and cutting out the inflammatory foods, because we did find that she had positive reflexes for her valves in her intestines. And so when those valves aren't competent, so for example, your ileocecal valve is the valve between your small intestine and large intestine. And so when that valve isn't as competent as it should be, meaning it's not closing off as tightly as it should be, it allows for backflow from the large intestine into the small intestine. And like, you know, there's bacteria in the large intestine, which is fine in the large intestine. But when that bacteria gets backflowed into the small intestine, it releases its inflammatory chemicals like lipopolysaccharides and things like that. And those are highly inflammatory. And so those get absorbed into the bloodstream, which creates inflammatory blood essentially. So then when you go to work out, or if you get hit on the leg or something, the body sends blood to that area to help heal that area and rebuild it. But since their blood is inflammatory, it's just making the problem worse. So So again, we worked on specific diets to cut down the amount of inflammation and help heal that gut area, and get her better. And she was feeling pretty good, pretty quickly. So that was very exciting.
So all of that started from muscle testing, mm-hmm. and basically applied kinesiology, right? And then, okay, and gut health being at the root of really so many issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. We see it at the root of a vast majority of issues. So how is gut health, I guess, improving your gut health and then changing your diet? Like, how have you been able to affect your own health condition?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, I think, with most people is getting their digestive system going. So producing the right amount of hydrochloric acid to digest proteins, producing the enzymes to digest the proteins and fats and carbs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Those are probably the two places that I start most often, just because if the digestive system's not working, then you're going to have a hard time getting healthy, because you're passing for A, if you're not having enough hydrochloric acid, you're not sterilizing your food. So high amounts of acid is obviously going to kill bacteria that's on your food, no matter how good our practices are as washing the food and cooking it and things like that. There's still going to be bacteria on there. So you're not sterilizing your food, and you're also not digesting your food. So it just sits in your gut, rancidifies, creates organic acids, produces more inflammation. So even if you are eating good stuff, that stuff is working against you because it's just creating more inflammation. So that's the biggest area, is getting digestion going, because it helps stabilize blood sugar if you're digesting your proteins, because proteins help keep your blood sugar much more stable.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the biggest things that helps most people and has helped me too, is getting digestion going.
That makes sense. And in my health coaching practice, I talk about digestion a lot and just helping people to understand the different processes, and even just the fact that chewing your food,
mm-hmm.
guys, chew your food like 30 times a mouthful.
Yeah.
It will change your life.
Yeah.
I've seen all kinds of people come to me and they're like, I need a little more muscle tone. I just feel kind of sluggish, fatigued, this and that, like mm-hmm. whatever the complaint is. It's like, okay, well, let's start with chewing and then we will work on things from there. But it's amazing how even that one small step makes a difference, because mm-hmm. enzymes are produced with your saliva that help break down carbs.
Yep.
Food goes into the stomach. It's a little better, you know, prepared to be able to be digested in the first place. And it gives a good signaling for your stomach to kick up that HCL, mm-hmm. that hydrochloric acid. And it's interesting to note, a lot of people will have indigestion and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's Papa Tums.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that do, Dr. Grady?
Yes. So that is the opposite of what we want to do. Most of the time that indigestion is because of those foods sitting in your stomach and creating those organic acids. And then you get that acid reflux from those organic acids. At the same time, if you're not producing enough hydrochloric acid, then you're not closing the sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach as tightly as possible. So the more acid that's in your stomach, the more hydrochloric acid in your stomach, the tighter that sphincter will close and the less problems you have as far as acid reflux goes.
So to tangent again, GERD runs in my family. So and so that's an esophageal reflux issue, mm-hmm. right? So more hydrochloric acid may close that sphincter and then thereby stop the GERD from being mm-hmm. an issue, right?
Yep.
A lot theoretically. Of
times. Yep. Yeah. Yep. A lot of times that's what we're finding with our patients is they need more acid versus less acid.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the challenges with juvenile diabetes. Do you mind if we mm-hmm. dive back into that?
Yeah.
All right, because you were diagnosed at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, getting that news, and how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I can't lie. It was pretty devastating, just because at the time I had seen my grandfather. He developed diabetes from a medication that he had to take for a skin condition. So he developed it in his like late 40s, somewhere around there, later in life anyways. But he didn't take very good control of it. And so I saw what diabetes did to him So he ended up losing his fingers and toes, and he eventually lost both of his legs right below the knee. So seeing that was pretty scary, and then realizing that I had the same condition that he did was pretty frightening. But through the education that I did get in the hospital, I did get the understanding that as long as you control it, you can minimize your risk of getting, you know, those effects of having amputations and things like that. So I think it was powerful having that example for me to see, like, if you don't control it, this may happen. So I think that was a powerful motivator for me and helped me realize the importance of keeping it under control. And so from that point on, I have been OCD about my blood sugar. So I constantly check it. I probably check it at least 10 times a day. Whereas most of the times they recommend, you know, 3 to 6 times a day, maybe. But staying on top of it, I think, is a huge component of being successful with diabetes. Cause if you know the numbers, it's more data points. So you can start to understand how your body is responding to a certain food. You can understand how your body is responding to a certain form of exercise or a stress or something like that. So that way, when it happens again, you can already think ahead and be like, all right, I'm going to take this amount of insulin now instead of that one because, you know, my blood sugar was out of whack the last time this happened. Just data is huge for type 1 diabetes and being able to make those decisions ahead of time. So I'd say it's a blessing and a curse, because with type 1 diabetes, I feel like I'm much more on top of my health than most people, just because I have so much data and I can see how something is affecting my blood sugar. So like cutting out gluten, one of the stories I tell a lot of people is, especially with pizza, pizza is just, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. And so terrible for trying to control your blood sugar.
So good, but so bad.
Yeah, exactly. It still smells really good to me. But I can't eat it because so I started eating healthy. This is probably a year before I started chiropractic school, eating pretty healthy, salads and, you know, meats and vegetables, things like that. And I was eating healthy for probably like 6 months, maybe even longer than that. And I don't remember what the occasion was, but we had pizza. And back when I used to eat pizza, you know, I was a lineman and everything, so I would eat a full pizza every time I ate pizza. So
it's like, what do you mean? You don't eat the whole thing
exactly.
Every time?
Yeah.
Really?
There's still more there. You got to eat it. So, I ate the whole pizza and my blood sugars were out of whack for a week from that. And I felt terrible for a week after that. That was a pretty good learning experience. And it stuck with me because I haven't had pizza since.
Yeah.
It was such a terrible experience that I'm like, it's not worth it. No matter how good it smells, I can't go through that again.
Can't go there. Yeah, I know that feeling. I've learned that mushrooms trigger my Crohn's. And so for me, it's like, nope, no more mushrooms. They're gone. And I used to love nothing more than a good fried or sauteed mushroom. Mm-hmm. So good. But yeah, once you feel that difference, you know, and you feel good, and then you go back to feeling bad for a minute, you're like, oh, I don't ever want to do that again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing when people get it, they really get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see, actually. Once they get that, they have that light bulb moment. It's like, wow, I love those moments in my practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, who are your ideal patients? You know, who's coming to see you that you're really looking to reach right now?
Yeah, I'd say the people who can't really find an answer. That's where I really start to thrive and really love what I do, is when people who are just lost and can't find answers for whatever condition it may be, whether it's autoimmune or, you know, chronic pain or something like that. Because not only do I, you know, do, you know, the stuff to get them better, but I also educate them along the way about why they're at where they're at and how we're going to get to back to, you know, where they want to be. As far as like specific conditions, I do like to work with autoimmune cases just because, you know, I am an autoimmune case and it's an ongoing case. So
I get that.
I'm continuing to learn about different things, but and I really like being able to help those people because I, you know, I have that experience of frustration and at times hopelessness. And so I want to be there for those people too.
Yeah, I totally get that. That resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're lucky to have you. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
How can people reach you if they want to get more information or schedule with you?
Yeah, so they can, I do have a Facebook page. So my Facebook page is Grady Donahoe DC. My Instagram page is Dr. Donahoe or Dr.Donahoe. And the office phone number is 314-649-8059.
Dr. Grady Donahoe, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information from me or on my health coaching services, please reach me online at amandalaplante.com or on facebook.com/getrealtoheal. For this and other episodes of Get Real to Heal, check us out on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. And you can also reach me by phone, 314-583-6749. Make it a great day.